Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade on this dream and Psychological Productions proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race, King Baby Duck here. So, after I finished editing last week's show, I began to write my post for it, which includes adding links to the places where people can buy the specific albums that each of the songs appeared in. I get to the Headphones President song, and I type into Japan file so I can link it there for people to purchase it. So, imagine my horror and shock when I discover that Japan Files is no more. It ceases to be. It's expired and joined the Quiet Invisible. And this happened sometime around March 24th of this year, according to the official Twitter page. And I'm very deeply saddened by this. Back when I did this show as a radio program at WMWM Salem, Japan Files were the first supporters of my show, going way back to its roots in the year 2006. They were the ones who introduced me to such artists as Barry Roll, Bespa, Kumamero, Swingin' Popsicle, and were the reason why I got to do my first band interview ever with Ketchup Mania, with which I still have the autograph near my old PC laptop, nicely framed. Japan Files was instrumental in bringing me Japanese indie acts to promote, and to see that they're gone has left a dark hole in the heart of the American J-pop industry. Hopefully I can try my best and showcase a humongous bunch of artists for however long a lifespan No Borders No Race will have, in hopes that maybe, just one day, one of these groups will finally break out there in the mainstream. It's what the folks at Japan Files would really want, and I'm going to do my damnedest to make it happen. And you can help too by going to such places as cdjapan.co.jp, iTunes, Amazon.com, the band's official websites and band camps, and even your local record store and buying these albums and singles. What I do here is give you a mere taste of what to expect from the full albums and EPs, and my hope is that the first hit gets you hooked enough to buy more of it. Music is the most legal and sweetest drug there is, my friends, and it's here for the most part to make us feel good. And I think it would be very appropriate if I played one of the bands Japan Files got me into, the first band I ever interviewed, from their 2007 album Urge. This is Ketchup Mania with Doubt Mail.
Yeah, well.
from the 2010 album ABC, that was Lems with the Moonstar remix of Hello Beat 3 featuring Naoyuki Takano. That's the type of song that I would love to hear playing in the dim lounge as I chat with friends and mingle with the cute girls. The perfect kind of background music for a fun, relaxing evening. Before I continue, I want to give a wonderful shout out to Mr. Tom Molesky, who has helped with providing a good chunk of the tracks you are hearing today. He's our favorite Bostonian living out there in the land of the rising sun, that lucky bastard. And without his help, I would probably be struggling more with doing this show. He does a great job with promoting artists and helping them get the word out to not just folks like me, but even in Japan itself. So please, if you see him walking around Japan, do me a favor and buy the man a drink. He also helps manage the band Mollus, who we've promoted on many occasions here. They are going to be working on their fourth album very soon with the help of Electric Eel Shock's bassist Kazuto Mayakawa. Two great bands working together to make some fun music. Now, please, as soon as you finish recording this album, you have to come to America and tour together. That's all I ask. Please. Let's play a little Nervous Records for all of you. One of my favorite bands from out of San Diego. This is the title track from their most recent album. Here's Let Them All Talk.
I'll talk and no action seems to be their foolproof plans. Faceless bags of wind blowing, verbal threats leading up to attacks that never happen. So can they really sit back and call themselves a man? Provocateurs, they couldn't frame us even if they put the guns in our hand. So let them all talk, they're just jealous. Jealous of your hair, jealous of the stars aligned here. Then look, you cannot find our secrets in books. They're just done, 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 run till you're gone. Well, they can offer bargain price flights for the shit talk, or they can wear the hat of a slick know everything. They're full of he said, she said, and did you know that he sounds like a girl when he sings? I know you were bullied 5 years as an intern and probably get hard reading Legs McNeil, but still you act like a rock star, but all you play is your pen and your mouth. So let them all talk, they're just jealous. Jealous of our looks, jealous of our worldwide hits. The look, you cannot find our secrets in books. They're just done, 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 run till you're gone. Let them all talk, they're just jealous. Jealous of our beats, jealous of the world on the streets. The look, you cannot find our secrets in books. They're just done, 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 so run till you're gone. Your mouth. So let them all talk, they're just jealous. Jealous of your hair, jealous of the stars aligned here. But look, you cannot find our secrets in books. They're just done, 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 until you're gone. Let them all talk, they're just jealous. Jealous of our licks, jealous of our worldwide hits. But look, you cannot find our secrets in books. They're just done, 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 until you're gone. Let them all talk, they're just jealous. Jealous of our beats, jealous of the word on the streets. The look, you cannot find our secrets in books. They're just done, 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 run till you're gone. So run till you're gone. Done.
は食わない。雨の後に目が行くのはアスファルトの色、小さい花やカーペンは白い、それで思い出す月で割れる街灯だ。
Cold Tommy with Paradox from their mini album Cold Days, Cold You. A great little up-and-coming band from the land of the rising sun. I'm expecting big things from the Cold Tommy if this is the kind of music they're going to be releasing. Okay, spoiler alert. Last week I went and saw the movie The World's End, the final film in Edgar Wright's Cornetto trilogy, and it was fantastic. To give you an idea of what to expect from it, The World's End takes a couple themes from both Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and puts them into one film. You have the big massive threat known as the Blanks filling in for the Shaun of the Dead zombies, and then you have the town being overtaken by a massive force, all for what they believe to be the greater good, a la Hot Fuzz. The World's End focuses on the massive pub crawl. 12 pubs, 5 friends, all led by Gary King, played by Simon Pegg. They attempted it back in high school and failed, and now Gary, for some undisclosed reason, wants to try again. Unfortunately, the friends all find out that the town they grew up in is no longer the town they grew up in, and soon find themselves going up against humanoid beings who can easily be decapitated and pulled apart, but yet still be alive afterwards. And the only way they can survive the town is to march on with the pub crawl. This film is funny, smart, fast, and even touching in some places. It's one of those movies where it's on the line between showing you why we as people need to grow up, but at the same time proves that there are moments where we all need to revert back to our younger selves for the greater good. The jokes are great, the action is just as amazing as it was when Edgar Wright did Scott Pilgrim, and the bond between Simon Pegg and Nick Frost is just as strong as it was way back in the days of Spaced. There's probably not a smarter comedy out there that's coming out this year, so do yourself a favor and go see it. I give The World's End a 5 out of 5 and declare that the Cornetto Trilogy is the best original film saga since Back to the Future. And before you get up on me and say, well, what about Lord of the Rings? Lord of the Rings is so much better, blah, blah, blah. I said original trilogy. Lord of the Rings is awesome, but it was an adaptation. Now let's get back to some music. Here's something with pop, rock, and even a tad bit of electric grooves thrown in for good measure. From their 2012 album Hello World, this is The Planets with I Delete You.
Up and will I live up to my ways. I am not going home tonight. Sighs, 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 enough, I will lie to whatever. just to keep it bright. I am useless, and you are hopeless. Both together we're doomed to end. So why even lead you out of mind and out of sight? Won't you now just step aside and let me go? This is my suicide tonight. Me, you know, it's not for good. So live tomorrow if you want, and leave me alone. I want the world to be just mine. Hey, yeah. And will I live up to my ways. I am not going home tonight. Sighs, enough. I will lie, turn whatever I have to keep it up, just to keep it bright. I am useless, and you were hopeless. Both together we're doomed to end. So I either lead you out of mind and out of sight. Won't you now to step aside and let me go? This is my suicide tonight. Me, you know, it's died for good. So live tomorrow if you would, and leave me alone. I want the world to be just mine. Hey, yeah. So live tomorrow if you would, and leave me alone. I want the world to be just mine. Hey, and so I delete you.
Nights come from long days, doing all the right things in the wrong ways, doing all the wrong shit for the right reasons, sprinkling midnight game, call it night seasoning. Haters get salty, give them cholesterol, Trill OG, mop up the floor with the best of y'all, then dry that bitch off with the rest of y'all, and catch a flight to Rio de Janeiro for La Festival. Yeah, and that's word to fit a Paldi. Ball hard like a cement inside of my Spalding. And now break your face with a no-look pass. Now back to your parking lot pimp with your little hook gas. I use harsh words cause these are hard times. And trill ass people nowadays is such a hard find. So it's one eye open if I can peep them, and one on the scope when they frontin' so I can sleep them. Man, my flow is so parabolic, the energy will blow you over even if you brolic. God damn it, now that's one for the Googlers who fell asleep on their desk and never stepped their noodle up. Taking lames out, never been new to us. The hardest part of this shit is figuring which of you to bust. Now step your weight up like GNC and RIP to Chris Luther repping CNC. Straight G.
Been inside you. It's hard to hear you speak. Been inside you. But you're still the same. There's something inside of you. It's hard to explain. There's something about you, boy. But you're still the same.
Yo. Rest in peace to them niggas who was dead wrong. Tony Braxton to them niggas, that's a sad song. Cry a river, Timberlake, the whole industry. Record the whole album in my living room in Italy. Niggas who wasn't feeling me secretly want a handout. Keep your mouth shut, I could probably help your man out. Drop a new stack, all lames get to steppin'. Drop a new track, all blogs go to heaven. Kill aware, man, these niggas need they hits up. Kiss her neck, add a dime to the tip cup. She is not slut. Fuck a dude who says so. Just because she's fucking doesn't mean she ain't a lady. Kill the whole stage, I never needed a mic check. Semen on my space bar, fucking tired of Skype sex. Running with a new breed, me and Bun B. This hip hop nation, that big country. Nigga, please, we ain't stop for no one. Wu-Tang generator name, I'm a shogun. Wu-Tang generator name, watch them smoke one. Talk a lot of shit, but none of them will approach him. Gambino got first position, the game is ballet. So graceful, drive, he don't need a ballet. So angel, fly as I wanna be. Mercy, somebody show these niggas can't hurt me. Whoa.
There's a dark time inside you. It's hard to explain. Talking about you, boy. But you're still the same. There's
when Donald Glover gets into his rap game, he becomes Childish Gambino, featuring Bun B. That was R.I.P. from the Free Royalty mixtape. And yes, they sampled Kavinsky's Night Call, better known as the song that opened that awesome Nicholas Winding Refn film, Drive. It's a nice usage of it, to be honest. So last week, Nintendo announced it would be releasing a more tablet-friendly version of its popular Nintendo 3DS handheld called the Nintendo 2DS. It's almost the size of an iPad, is flat and doesn't fold like a clam, and it doesn't contain the glasses-free 3D aspect of the original handheld. However, it will still play all 3DS titles and regular DS games as well. The cost of it will be $130, which is about 30 to 40 bucks cheaper than a regular 3DS and 70 bucks cheaper than the XL version. As I'm recording this, I'm still wondering what this product is all about. I know Reggie feels on me has said that this version of the handheld is for the under 7 crowd, as they shouldn't be playing games in 3D due to their eyesight still developing. For that reason alone, this 2DS may be a good buy, but that being said, there is a reason why there's a tab on the right side of the 3DS to turn the 3D aspect on and off. I could see parents picking this up for their 4 or 5 year olds, but what happens after they turn 7? That's only 2 to 3 years away. Surely those kids will then want the parents to clunk down for one with a 3D in it, and am I right? We were all kids once after all, and from our experiences, we wanted the nice, new, and shiny cool things that were made available to the public. They'll whine and bitch that their 2DS isn't in 3D, and because parents these days can be so gullible, that they'll womp down another 200 they don't have so they can just make their kids fucking happy. I'm betting the 2DS will only be successful during the first few months of its release, and then soon afterwards, any parent with right sound of mind will realize that buying a 2DS over a 3DS is just downright stupid. I'm a big Nintendo fanboy, as some of you know, but this peripheral may be the dumbest thing Nintendo has done since the Virtual Boy. So please, do yourself a favor, just stick with the 3DS, and just pretend the 2DS doesn't even exist, as most people probably will. Coming up next, we got a great little band called Ina, and this is from their album Pika Pika Crocodile. This is Techno Popper Theme. Pika Pika
Thank you. 調子はどう？今日くらい跳ね外そうぜ。どこでも好きなとこへ。 Hey baby lady、 俺とレムスのビーツでどこでも行こうぜ。 Yo let's go、Hey baby、 sexy lady、 食べたいならおごるぜケーキ、生チョコにアイスいっぺんに、足りないならテラスへいい天気、君はココア、俺はコカ・コーラ、俺といい安心そりゃそうさ。次は何を食したい、特にないならヴィーナスフォート、奥に買いたっぷり買い物ラルフに富み、香水も欲しい何でも興味、好きにやっていいぜ今日一日、時間もオーシッ、閉店ギリギリ寂しそうな顔、可愛い横顔、また来よう問いかける言葉を、時間は過ぎるが夜はこれから、愛車に乗り次は俺から、今日ぐらいいいだろ、可愛い君と特別なことしよう、チークタイム楽しもうぜ、気持ちいいぐらい今日ぐらいいいだろ、可愛い君と特別なことしよう、チークタイム楽しもうぜ、気持ちいいぐらい、姿を変えた都会の風景、日本国内でもここ有名、さあ行こうかナイトガイドツアー、あの店までこの道最速さ、台場広青山代官山、普段と違う君大胆だな、飽きたら明治通り表参道、まだ懲りずにそう俺にアンコール店入り、ダーツ目指す300、だいぶ慣れてくる良い感覚、輪に混じる店員、ダニーと3人越された点数マジで感心、oh、気づけばこんな時間、遊び疲れも逆に爽快感、 Hey baby ゆっくり休もう、次へ約束姫に託そう、今日ぐらいいいだろ、可愛い君と特別なことしよう、チークタイム楽しもうぜ、気持ちいいぐらい今日ぐらいいいだろ、可愛い君と特別なことしよう、チークタイム楽しもうぜ、気持ちいいぐらい、甘い香りそう甘い一日、踊り明かそうバックに JB、 日付変われば M リパートン、部屋を包む君がキーパーソン、君は天使いやピカソモナリサ、芸術囲み歌い出す二人はディープチ、遠い海の世界全てを捨てて今打ち解けたい、ビールシャンパンに白ワイン、窓から見える海の広さに二人して絶景に仁王立ち、ほろ酔いの顔を合わせちとおかしい、すっきりバスタイム、ジャグジープラズマ、気持ち高ぶり掴む胸ぐら、リラックスタイム、さあ奏でよう Rock into the beat よ、今日ぐらいいいだろ、可愛い君と特別なことしよう、チークタイム楽しもうぜ、気持ちいいぐらい今日ぐらいいいだろ、可愛い君と特別なことしよう、チークタイム楽しもうぜ、気持ちいいぐらい今日ぐらいいいだろ、可愛い君と特別なことしよう、チークタイム楽しもうぜ、気持ちいいぐらい今日ぐらいいいだろ、可愛い君と特別なことしよう、チークタイム楽しもうぜ、気持ちいいぐらい。
From his 2011 album Plastic Box, that was Pig the Rio with Sweet Swinging Days. And don't lie, I bet you some of you blushed when you heard the sounds of that woman moaning. Oh, how I wish I could see how red your faces got when you heard that. So a few days ago, I went to the Museum of Fine Arts to view the film Wolf Children, Mamoru Hosoda's latest masterpiece, and my friends from Wicked Anime and YouTube's 42 Believer were in attendance. I thought it would be cool if, after the film, I would get their initial reactions to it, and here's how that went.
King Baby Duck here, coming to you live from the Museum of Fine Arts. We had just gotten out of the screening of Mamoru Hosoda's epic animated masterpiece, Wolf Children, and I am here with the brothers Fleming, Andrew and Jonathan of Wicked Anime, and we have and we have from YouTube an anime reviewer, 42 Believer.
I cannot believe it. Like, we just like just so happened to run into you. How are you even here?
Just coincidence. The fates. It was meant to be.
This is the funny thing, because she had reblogged my blog from Tumblr.
And that exact thing.
And I literally saw one of her videos through Gigik on YouTube. Literally, yesterday. Not just yesterday. Like, you know, like I just could not believe it. I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. This is just the weirdest
right here ever. I guess it was serendipitous, you know? Auspicious day.
So, you know, this is my second time watching it. 42 Believer, this is your third time?
This is my second time.
This is your second time as well? Mm-hmm. And this is the Fleming Brothers' first time.
First
so,
yeah.
So the Flemings... Was this a man-tier movie?
I cried like a bitch.
You know, dude, I actually did not cry, but I was surprised. But the thing
you were
is,
like this close.
I was into it. I was so into it. And I honestly, truly, honestly believe that Mamoru Hosoda can make a terrible movie, and I will love it to death, and I will take it to my grave.
Well, the same with, like, Hayao Miyazaki. I mean, Ponyo was an okay film, but it's still Miyazaki, and it's fantastic.
Even if it's shit, it's still gonna be good, you know?
Yeah. Another example, probably Secret War of Ariadne.
Yeah, it's just...
That wasn't done by him, though.
Well,
that
he wrote the screenplay, so technically...
And it's still Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was still... I did like it. I did. But, oh my gosh, I'm actually kind of, like, I just don't know what to say right now, because watching that movie, like, I gotta be honest, I think I like Summer Wars better.
Okay.
But where I still think, Girl Who Leapt Through Time and Summer Wars were still his better films.
Yes.
But I'm not... That's like saying that the World's End wasn't as good as Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Yeah. That is
it's no. Yeah. The point is no.
Yeah. They're all still great.
They're still epic, amazing films.
Because this was just not even the same kind of movie. This was a completely different movie.
Well, yes, exactly. That's what I was telling a lot of people, like, after my review went up on EGM Now. They were like, oh, I love Hosoda's stuff. I'm sure I'm going to like it. It's like, know that this is a totally different film from Hosoda.
I mean, it spans so much time compared to his other movies. I mean, you just think about it. Like, they literally grow up through this entire thing.
You grow up with them.
You see their journey.
It was like Andy from Toy Story.
I can believe it, though, that they only... I don't want to spoil anything, but they only went to a certain point of their life. Like, they didn't continue so far. Like, it was still a little story. It was still kind of a little contained story, but it was just... I can't... Words can't even describe...
Would you maybe like to say that maybe, like, say 10 years down the line, Hosoda should do a follow-up movie? Find out where Ami and Yuki are at that point?
No. I don't think he should ever touch this ever again because it was just...
Leave it untouched.
Okay. That is very interesting because, Andrew, you are the only person, or one of the many people, rather I should say, in the entire world who needs an epilogue in order to finish a story. Yeah, no, I am 100% an epilogue person. If it, once an epilogue comes by, like, that is my golden story. But this one, it had an epilogue, but it was an epilogue contained in the same story that we just watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't take it too far, and just... Because sometimes, you know, you can spin it too long.
Yeah.
You know, it just... You gotta let it lie where it is.
It was amazing.
But the part that crushed me, though, it was the lullaby during the credits. That was...
Yeah.
And,
and notice how nobody left the theater.
I love that so much. I downloaded that. I need to own this.
Just a heartbreaking lullaby. And it was clearly written an original...
Right. Oh, yes. Clearly.
Especially with the lyrics, because they dealt with what happened in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And you can hear the same melody throughout the entire movie that just came through right at the end of the lullaby, because you heard those same melodies sprinkled through the entire thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of got that overarching. It was beautiful.
Yeah. One of the things I love about Hosoda is that he just never makes the same movie twice. Like, every single movie he has made has been a completely different, completely new thing that we have never seen before.
I couldn't guess that movie. I couldn't guess for the life of me what was going to happen during that movie.
Even at Anime Boston with the, you know, they showed us, it had an AMV at Anime Boston. I refused to watch it. I didn't watch any of it.
No spoilers.
I literally had my head down in my phone the whole time, and I waited for the music to stop because I was not going to watch
it. But could you guess from what that song was playing what you were going to expect a little bit?
Yeah. I could kind of see what was going to happen during that movie. I mean,
It was obviously, you know, it was Wolf Children, Nami Inuki. It had to be about Nami Inuki.
Yeah. And the Japanese title is Okami Kodomo Ame to Yuki, Wolf Children, Nami Inuki. So you know it was going to be mostly about them.
But, I mean, it is mostly about them, it's also about the mom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also about Hana.
Yeah.
She's totally over that.
That movie would make anybody want to become a mother.
It is literally detracting, and it's so harder. Like, if you think of it, just being a mom and doing the natural birth. No.
With no nurse,
drugs, no nothing.
Nurse or anything like that.
No.
I could not believe how well the characters were written. I kind of felt weird just being like, you know, little kids don't really act like that, like, you know, because it's too cute. But yeah.
Actually, no. I've had a one of my best friends when I was over in Japan. He had a 7-year-old niece, I want to say.
Uh-huh.
And she acted exactly like her.
Well, and I used to babysit a lot, like, way back when. And so, I mean, I've seen little kids do those kind of cute things all the time. And, I mean, I guess they took it maybe a little bit, because, I mean, they are part.
Well, you have to animate it.
So,
one of the major things of animation is you have to over-exaggerate everything in order to get it.
But what we were discussing beforehand, what I've discussed in my review, is that what Hosa does a great job is, even though there's still that little bit of over-exaggeration, it still feels real.
Absolutely. Yes. Everything he does feels real, and he will be my favorite forever. Ever since just watching The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, I just declared this man is my favorite director. Like, it doesn't, like, not anime. I don't see his movies as anime. They are just plain good movies.
Well, if you've seen the stuff that he does with the Digimon movies and the One Piece, like, those are, you know, those are anime films, but at the same time, you can see that he was starting to get a little bit of the sense of what we were going to expect from him in the future. Kind of like when Hayao Miyazaki did Lupin the Third, and the original TV series, and then Castle of Cagliostro. You were starting to feel that Miyazaki charm from those films before Miyazaki was even a household name.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what Hosoda did with the One Piece, the Digimon, and even the super flat film that I showed you before, the Louis Vuitton commercial.
Yeah, the Louis Vuitton. Have you seen that? He literally showed it to us right before the showing, and it was literally like a storyboard for
it was
like,
basically the demo reel for
Summer Wars. Yeah.
Gorgeous, just utterly gorgeous.
Amazing. And what I love about his movies is that no matter what the characters is, you can always connect them. You can always find something relatable about them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not all the same. They're so diverse and they have such different personalities, and I just love that about them.
Yeah, I mean, the way the characters, they all had clear, distinct personalities. Mm-hmm. Like, Ame's personality in the beginning of the movie when he was younger, that was just absolutely incredible because I could tell exactly what he wanted, and
It's as if their personality switched.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was thinking
at that
the exact
one
same thing.
Point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say that, like, before that whole situation happens, that scene in the snow when they're running, that scene just, oh my god, you feel goosebumps all over your body.
I mean, it's so gorgeous, especially with the shot, the angle they got, like, from the point of view, and like this is the wolf running through the snow. It was.
Yeah. You can watch this like on a giant IMAX screen and feel like you were running.
If only.
I couldn't believe it.
We'll touch on that part in a second.
I just couldn't believe it. Like, right now, even though I'm saying, you know, well, it wasn't my favorite, you know, these ones are better, I seriously, words cannot describe the feelings I feel right now about that movie.
Because
it was almost exactly what I wanted. Maybe missing a little bit, but I mean, I can't get everything I want.
Yeah,
right.
There was that one scene.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, the scene that might have turned. Maybe
the
that
scene
was the
that
one.
Shall not be named.
The beginning that was a little bumpy. Yeah, I will admit the entire beginning. It was.
Yeah,
it
that's
a
what
bit of a bumpy start.
Well, again, I feel like that's a bit of Hosoda's style, and even it's a little bit of what we saw in The World's End. That was a little bit of a slow start as well, too.
I agree. Yep, I agree. Although. But I have to disagree on Hosoda's part, though, because I feel like his other movies were just much more well-structured, like the way that Summer War started with the introduction to Oz, how it was just like the world as a whole. It's like, this is what you're dealing with. And then in The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, it started with the imagery of the alarm clock, mm-hmm. you know, and that...
Right.
And, like,
you
that was just gorgeous.
Just, like, not absolutely love how he recycled the aunt from Summer Wars?
Yeah.
You know the one who likes baseball? She was in that. That she was in that movie. And not only that, but she was the one sitting in the bookstore, like, you know, the bookstore in the van. That was her.
Oh my god, I never caught the cameos.
No, that's awesome. Well, and what I liked was if you
maybe she's gonna be hosted a Straw Hat.
but the thing is, like, the same way that, you know, they say, oh, all of J.J. Abrams' films are part of the same universe, all of Quentin Tarantino's movies are part of the same universe.
Oh yeah, Tarantino's definitely the same universe.
All of Hosoda's movies could very possibly just be the same universe.
I would buy that.
Honestly, I would absolutely buy that.
But what I liked, if you notice when you go back, maybe at some point you watch it, and there's a picture she has of her and her father, and they're kind of like holding hands. It's that same kind of pose with Summer Wars when you go back to that photo, and I think that says a lot.
Did anyone, when the older man was introduced, the one who helped out Hana with the gardening and such, did you get a sort of Clint Eastwood, Gran Torino vibe from him?
He was just an amazing character because I knew exactly what his game was. I knew exactly why he was there, and I just loved it. I bought it.
I have this little, like, kind of idea in my mind that the reason why he came around and why... Because he was kind of skeptical at the beginning, but then he does come through and help her. And I think that's because, I don't know, I just think that this is a little headcanon. That house that they were living in, because you saw all those little personal touches in it, you know?
Yes.
Like, I think that that was maybe a house that he grew up in, but he had to abandon.
And that's
just something that I think about because I think about
that.
How she restores it and how he comes around, and I just think about that.
Well, yeah, because in the animation industry, when we make stories and backstories and everything like that, you have to tell a story from a character. Basically, there's a story for every single character that you do not tell because it develops their personality, and when you build a character,
that's what I did with this one TV series idea I've been writing. I made like little bios for each of the characters with stuff that probably I'll never even touch about.
But that's what I think is that was his house or like a family house at some point, and the reason why he came around, he saw how she was restoring it, and he just like, she's actually serious about this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's actually a very, very, very astute observation. So.
That is an amazing observation. I never thought of that as well.
I've been thinking about this movie for so long. It just, oh my god.
So this movie is going to be released by Funimation in November. But when I talked to Hosoda, we had this little group thing before the screening. He had mentioned, you know, through his translator, that they had a hard time finding a distributor here in America. They asked Warner Brothers. They asked, you know, Universal, Paramount, just about everybody. So let me have the blunt question. How stupid were these studios for passing on
this? Fucking idiots.
No, and I absolutely agree, which especially because, you know, Warner Brothers is all about the animation and everything like that. For them to say no, I'm actually kind of happy, I should say. Like, you know, and I say that with a question mark, only because there are... Like, as I was telling you guys before, this is, like, our niche love. And, like, the fact... I mean, Miyazaki in America, where it's, you know, he does Disney and stuff like that, he's still not a household name to everybody.
Yeah.
But he's still bigger than Hosoda.
Yes.
And Hosoda, I feel, is kind of... He's kind of, like, mine.
You want to keep him, like, no one else can know about him.
Yeah, exactly.
We discovered him.
And, like, I feel okay about that, you know?
But at the same time, I'm like, you must see this movie.
The greatest movie ever.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, and it sucks because you think about all those chances that anime has to get a better reputation maybe than it does.
Yes, and this is a perfect movie for that.
It is a perfect movie, and I feel like that there is an audience there that's missing out. And that they could really gain a lot from this, you know? And it's never going to come to light, and that makes me sad.
I just want my DVDs to be cheaper.
Well, let me put it to you this way. 10 years ago, DVDs like this would probably be like $40-$50. Now they've gone down to $30. Be glad about that.
At least Aniplex of America didn't get it.
Oh, God. All right, that'll be $85.
Yeah, pretty much. That's Aniplex in a nutshell.
That is awesome.
But we digress.
And at least Sentai Filmworks didn't get it. It was Funimation at the very least. Funimation does good dubs.
Yeah, they've been doing great dubs. I think ever since they...
I am looking forward to the English cast.
Yeah, and I've heard great things about the dub since it played at Otakon. And... But the thing that angers me about going back to the whole non-distribution thing by a bigger company is, like, I feel like this is a type of film that, granted, yes, a lot of kids will probably go more towards the next Shrek or Turbo rather than Wolf Children. But at the same time, I feel like that this is a film that you can really sit down a kid and they will just eat it all up. There was a little girl sitting right in front
of us.
And she just ate up the whole film.
And I mean, and that makes me happy, because a lot of people say, well, kids can't watch anime. It's subtitled. They're not going to watch it. Like, really? No, kids will. They do have the attention span. We do not give kids enough credit. And I think having such, you know, young characters, especially such young characters who are so well developed, I think kids would relate to that too.
Yes.
The only thing that is different is the culture differences.
Yes.
Where I think some Japanese culture references and content that they put in movies are sometimes like a little too mature for kids that they won't understand.
But at the same time, like, this is a film that didn't have that much. I feel like this felt more mainstream.
And
than
a lot of it goes over kids' heads anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. Look at how many jokes that in Shrek that no kid will get.
I mean, and of course that's just based on, like, in this movie, it's about kids growing up, and regardless of what culture you come from, kids understand kids.
Yeah,
look at every Nick Jr. TV show on there. Yeah. It's about little bear growing up, being a little bear, and
kids still relate to it somehow. Because
kids all play the same.
Yeah,
they all play the same.
They run around, they scream, and they fall down.
Yeah, and
I mean, young kids shows have always been like that. Even with like Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids, Babar.
But I mean, this isn't just a kids movie. It's a family movie.
It's a family movie.
So just like, because, and it always angers me, people are like, oh, it's a kids show.
No,
it's so much more than that. You don't understand.
It's like with Adventure Time and regular show. Even My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
And I mean, even like, you know, Avatar The Last Airbender and like Legend of Korra, like those are family shows. They aren't just kids.
They're mature family shows.
Yes. And it's not like one of those things where you feel like you're weird for having to watch it if you're like our age.
Yeah. You can still feel like there's like, yes, it's a legitimate thing. It's got its audience and it's got its place, and anyone can enjoy it, and no one should have to be judged for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more with you.
Yeah. I seriously think the more movies that Hosoda makes, the closer we will get to a more widespread reaction to anime growing everywhere. Like, more...
Agreed.
I don't want to say mainstream, but I want to say accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he makes brilliant, just good movies that everybody can understand.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, absolutely.
And I do like anime being a niche kind of geek thing.
I do too.
I would like it to be just accepted, you know? Because that's the thing. I mean, it can still be a niche culture, but it should be accepted by everyone.
It's one of those things where, like, I get pissed off when I see, like, TV shows like Two and a Half Men and Two Broke Girls playing, and they have such a wide audience, and it's total crap. Meanwhile, you got some great anime comedies.
It's
like...
It's never gonna get popular.
Like, My Bride is a Mermaid, Sergeant Frog,
Nichijou. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, maybe you and I might disagree with Nichijou.
What?
I'm sorry, but I'm just tired of everyone trying to be Azumanga Daioh.
But Azumanga Daioh was awesome too.
Yeah,
I like Azumanga Daioh. I like Nichijou.
Okay,
Wolf Children.
Back to Wolf Children. We'll have a debate about this maybe another time. You will be that Nichijou is awesome. I'll be like, Nichijou sucked.
We can do that.
I feel that it should be there, and you know, because we've all had people be prejudiced against.
You know what? I used to be prejudiced about it too, but then I watched Pokemon, and then I was like, "This is awesome!"
Well,
Why did I hate anime beforehand?
Because our first real introduction to anime before we knew what anime was Dragon Ball Z, and still to this day, I do not like Dragon Ball Z. But I used to think every anime was Dragon Ball Z.
Well, see, when I was a kid, I mean, Dragon Ball Z was my jam. I can't lie. I had three older brothers. That's all I was allowed to watch. I had three older brothers. I mean, that's what we watched. We watched Dragon Ball Z. And I've watched every single episode of Dragon Ball Z, including Dragon Ball GT, which sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I love Dragon Ball more than Dragon Ball Z, because I love the humor aspect
I can
of
see.
Dragon Ball.
I always loved, I don't know, just little, I always love how people are like, you're just a kid, no one can think you're that strong. But it is. But no, yeah. So, I mean, and everyone thinks, you know, the overpower and Dragon Ball Z. I mean, I get it. It's not the best, objectively. It's a guilty pleasure, but there are
that being
actual
said,
good anime.
Dragon Ball Z, the abridged series, though, everyone should watch that.
Everyone should watch Hellsing Ultimate Abridged.
Yes.
And Team Four Star, when's your next episode coming out?
Probably Halloween, because that's when they usually
this
release
This is
it.
True. But, I mean, if that's going to take, like, the next 6 years for the next for the rest of them.
I know,
after that,
I know.
Oh, come on.
Okay, but going back to Wolf Children, maybe we should probably... Should we probably wrap this up?
Yeah, it's 9:30 right
yeah.
now.
So. Okay, so maybe we'll give you each of you, because I've said so much about Wolf Children in past podcast episodes and in articles. Let me put you three on the spot and ask you... Let's give you each, like, 1 or 2 minutes. State your case. Why should everybody watch Wolf Children?
Everybody should watch Wolf Children because, well, from a personal basis, Mamoru Hosoda has made my favorite movie consecutively every single time. So, like, every single time something comes out, it's my new favorite movie.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like, he writes mature, brilliant stories. I feel like this movie, even with the kid characters, everybody can watch it because everybody understands what's going on. I was invested in this movie. I was invested in the characters, and I felt like I belonged to them as well. And you just don't see a lot of movies that do that, where you can write a character that's so engaging that it hurts, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So that's it. That's
for me. I guess you know how long is Wolf Children? Like
2 hours.
Two hours.
2 hours.
2 hours. Right. There's not a minute of that I wasn't entertained.
Nope.
Every single minute of that, it didn't even feel like 10 minutes passed by. Mm-hmm. You are entertained start from finish. Their characters, each of them develops. Ame develops, Yuki develops, Hana develops. They all have progression, and all of it is done beautifully.
Yep.
And it's hard to find that anywhere else, and just for the sake of being able to see something so beautiful, you just have to watch it for that.
Yep. Yeah, and it's a gorgeous coming-of-age story. Just the way that it's believable when characters, you know, change their attitude and outlooks on life, mm-hmm. and when, you know, the family interaction seems really real, and once again, Hosoda has created a world that is just gorgeous to look at. You know, and it, just like seeing the mountains and the scenery and running through the snow, you know, is just a good thing.
Animation A+.
And yes. While
I mean, it's not like Studio Ghibli quality, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah.
But anyways, when it comes down to it, you know, it's still not my favorite movie, but that's not saying much compared to what he has created in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely still go see it. Hosoda, just no more yiffing.
No more yiffing? What do you mean?
Oh, no. Do you not know what your thing is?
No.
I'll tell you. You don't even know. That's all right.
Well, I'm actually in the dark about something. That's not often for me. So.
Right. I was okay with it. It was fine. It's just not that beginning scene. We all know
that. We all know what you're talking about.
Okay, that part. That part in the film.
It was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary, but it got a huge laugh when we saw it at MIT.
It wasn't supposed to be a laugh.
Yeah, it
that's
wasn't. It was not supposed to be a laugh. And that only, if anyone came into that and didn't know anime and came into that, they're like, if they saw that one scene, someone might walk out.
It's
not fair to the movie.
Because that scene, everybody laughs at it, but it's supposed to be the scene where it's like, no matter what he is, she still loves him.
Exactly.
And that's the important part, but everybody laughs at it. And
like, if he had,
looks kind of goofy.
If he had, maybe in the middle of the scene, like, transformed right back.
Right, exactly.
It would have been fun.
Yeah, and like, she kissed his snout, and it was just weird.
Awkward.
You know? They were naked. Yeah. I don't know.
Then again, fucking Twilight people.
Actually, when
this movie was first announced, I was like, that's weird because of the whole thing that's going on. Yeah, I know. So, but, we can talk about
it's
that.
Still
later.
Great. Yeah.
Okay,
still
it's still a great movie.
I guess that's our signal.
And we're supposed to leave.
We have a message for you. Just make your way toward the exit.
That's our cue.
If that doesn't prove that we're in a museum.
Andrew Jonathan. I almost called you Andrew WK for some reason.
Yes, let's party.
Andrew Jonathan, 42 Believer, thank you so much for joining me on this segment for No Borders No Race, Wolf Children, coming out on DVD and Blu-ray November 30th from Funimation. For the love of God.
I already got it.
Yes, I'm pre-ordering it.
I'm pre-ordering it tonight. Oh my goodness, it's so awesome.
My thanks to Wicked Anime and 42 Believer for guesting on my special roundtable. Be sure to follow Wicked Anime at nerdyshow.com/WickedAnime and watch 42 Believers anime reviews on youtube.com/42Believers with an S at the end. If you just type in 42 Believer, you come across some sort of Christian sort of thing. I take it 42 Believer might have been ticked off when she saw it was already taken. Well, that about wraps up today's podcast show. I know there wasn't a lot of music today, but that talk was pretty damn long, and I hope it was very informative. So, remember, for the latest news, reviews, and podcast episodes featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, and if you are in a band and would like to be featured on our podcast show, write to us at TheBastards@BostonBassBrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at King_Baby_Duck. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BostonBassBrigade. And we're on Tumblr at B3Crew.tumblr.com. I think it would be very appropriate, seeing as we talked about the song from Wolf Children on the show, to end this episode with it. It's a very beautiful track that will move you to tears, even with its melody alone. From the Wolf Children soundtrack, this is Anne Sally with Ukasan no Uta. And I'm not going to do my usual sign-off catchphrase because it'll take away from the song. So just keep on listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Mada minu anata aemasu yoni. Onaka o sasuri itsumo negatta. Donna kao shiteru kana. Donna koe o shiteru no. Okina hitomi watashi wo. Kumo kazoe, ame ni asobi.
You're cool.